Well, in every job, I guess there are hazards. And in ministry, I learned a number of years ago that one of the hazards was, ironically, when you read something in Scripture, you assume right away, well, this is what the Lord is giving me for the sermon. And so you rush and get it ready for the people. And a wise pastor said that we have to be careful because sometimes the Lord just wants to speak to us. And so I've tried to do that. And when I read now, I'm almost maybe, well, is this for me or is it for the congregation? This week was one of those weeks where I really wasn't sure. And so as the week went on, I felt directed to this passage of Scripture. It's kind of keeping an almost a unplanned theme over the last few weeks. And then when I came this morning and we listened to these beautiful songs of worship, I recognized that in the Scripture, in the songs that were chosen, that the Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to us this morning about something. And so He orchestrates not just the preaching, He orchestrates the worship time, and He orchestrates events in our lives that he reminds us and He wants to speak to us. So over the last couple of weeks, I've been kind of talking about focus, having the right focus, keeping our focus or shifting our focus. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Isaiah the prophet's testimony of a season in his life that was going terribly wrong. The only king he knew who had ruled for 52 years and for the most part had led a peaceful political time, an economically prosperous time, that king had died. And Isaiah wasn't discounting that. He acknowledged it. The king is dead and he was seeing a lot of things that were concerning him. But he also wrote for us, in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I also saw the Lord. And he was reminded that the earthly throne is empty, but the King of Kings is still on his throne. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to remind us constantly of that. We look around us and we get scared politically or economically, and we see all these things around us. And for some of us, it's a different, not political ruler has died, but maybe something has happened to us personally. But we can also see the Lord. And so our focus sometimes needs to be shifted. Last week, we read from Hebrews chapter 12, where the writer to the Hebrews reminded us that we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. We need to glue our eyes to Him, because otherwise we can get sidetracked, we can get caught, something can catch our attention. And he reminds us that when those things happen, especially if we focus on negative things, they tend to grow, and he calls it a root of bitterness that grows up and it eventually affects us. And his advice to us is that when this happens, he says, see to it that no root of bitterness grows up. And I told you last week that see to it is the word of someone who's a supervisor or an overseer, someone who's responsible to keep a constant watch. And the Holy Spirit reminds us today, I believe, that we need to keep a constant watch, to keep constant vigilance, that we keep our eyes on Jesus, because other things can really lead to serious things. And so this morning I want to kind of continue in that same theme. Last week I talked about keeping focus. Today, keeping focus part two, if you want. But I've entitled this message this morning, The Right Thing to Do When Wrong Things Happen. It's a story in the Old Testament, and I'm going to read it in a moment, from 2 Chronicles. The story of a king by the name of Jehoshaphat. I've heard of Jumping Jehoshaphat. I don't know if that's where that came from or not. Jehoshaphat, for the most part, has been a good leader. Like all leaders, he had his moments. He tried, at least for the most of his leadership, to promote godliness and justice. I think Jehoshaphat really believed that he was obeying God. He felt he was doing the right things. He was doing the best he could. And now he and his country are about to be attacked. He's feeling a little overwhelmed. Maybe that's to put it mildly. He's confused. Maybe he's a little frustrated with God. Someone confided with me this week that they were frustrated with God, and that's great because I felt better because I've had days when I've been frustrated with God. He felt helpless. What would he do? Everything seemed wrong, and so what was the right thing to do when wrong things were happening? Let's read some of this scripture from 2 Chronicles chapter 2. I'm picking some verses, but this should give us the capture of the story. Some people came to Jehoshaphat and said, "A vast army is coming against you." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, "Lord, God of our ancestors, are you not the God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can stand against you. God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, even if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. O God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that's attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our focus, our eyes, are on you. All the men of Judah with their wives and their children and their little ones stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, and he stood before the assembly and said, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord, to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord." We already said that this morning. We read that. "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading, and they were defeated. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Consider this morning some similarities. Yes, you're not the king of a country. You're not facing a political catastrophe, maybe, or an invasion. But consider some common threads here to when you have seasons of struggle, when bad things happen. Quite often, I've discovered they happen in a season when things are otherwise going quite well. Israel was at rest. It was a time of victory. This was just following a period of great accomplishment. Things seemed to be going well, and then bam! Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you. And maybe you've had those seasons. I've had those seasons when things appear to be going quite well, and all of a sudden you're blindsided by something you did not see coming. Wrong things. Sometimes they happen when we're being obedient to God. As I said, Jehoshaphat was trying to do his best. He would at least had a valiant attempt at godliness and promoting justice and so on. And isn't that the one that frustrates you the most? You know, when you do bad things, when you've done wrong or you've messed up or you've been an idiot, you might feel like you deserve something. But what about when you've done right? What about when you've tried your hardest to serve God? You've done everything within your ability to serve Him faithfully, and you've tried to be nice to your family and your neighbors and all this. And you've done nothing wrong, and bad things happen. Or you just decide you're going to make a stronger commitment. Lord, I'm going to become more faithful servant of yours. I'm going to commit more faithfully to you. And just as you make that commitment, this happens. Well, where did that get me? Maybe you've decided to, I heard a story that reminds us that sometimes it happens at the worst possible time. Maybe you've decided to give more money to the church. Story of a pastor who had a gentleman came to him and he said, Pastor, I've been listening to your teaching on stewardship and giving of money, and just yesterday, my wife and I made the decision we're going to start giving more money to the church. And this morning, I went out and the motor died in my car. Now, what do you say to that? The pastor said, well, I'm glad you made the decision yesterday to give to the church. But isn't that what happens sometimes? You feel, I don't deserve this. Wrong things are happening. You've done your best. Don't fall into the enemy's trap. Here's, I don't know if this is takeaway one or not, but here's a takeaway. Don't fall into the enemy's trap when he tries to make you believe that your troubles are some sort of divine punishment from God. Don't fall into that trap. Your trials are not divine punishment from God. Sometimes God uses these circumstances for us to be reminded how much we need Him and draw closer to Him. The enemy will try to convince you it's your fault, you've done wrong, you've been bad. Or it happens from, in Jehoshaphat's case, these were basically family, relatives, people you would sort of expect better from, just across the river, and they were coming to attack. And again, isn't that when it feels worse? When this attack comes from people you shouldn't be receiving this attack from? From people you should be able to trust? And so here's Jehoshaphat. He's tried his best. Things are going fairly well. And all of a sudden, he's told, you're under a severe attack, and it's coming from your relatives. Wrong things were happening. And he didn't know what to do. And he confessed that, and he said, Lord, we don't know what to do here. And so what is the right thing to do when wrong things happen? First thing I think we see here in these scriptures is call out to God. The very first thing when wrong things happen, whether you don't deserve them or whether you do feel you deserve them, call out to God. Request His help. Make your request. Talk to God about it. You know, we have a tendency to talk to others first. I know I do. I have some very trusted friends, and I'm thankful that God has placed them in my life. And sometimes my natural tendency, the first thing is to talk to them. And there's a place for that, but Jehoshaphat realized that the first thing he should do is he should talk to God about it. Verse number 3 tells us, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. Alarmed, yes, he called on God. and honestly and humbly confess, Lord, I just don't know what to do here. Let me tell you that honesty before God is always the best policy. He knows anyway. You're not going to fool God. So just be open and honest before Him. I saw somewhere over the last couple of weeks on Facebook. Of course, it has to be true if it was there. But I saw somewhere, and I couldn't find it, actually. I went to look back for it and couldn't find it. I think it was called the I Don't Know Prayer. And you know what? Sometimes that's the most honest prayer. God, I just don't know. I just don't know. And humbly fall before Him. Jehoshaphat, the first thing he did when wrong things were happening was he talked to God about it. He called a time of prayer and fasting to seek the face of the Lord, to see what the Lord would say about this. He was sending a message that I'm not going to rely on myself. I'm not going to rely on my army. I'm not going to rely on my money. I'm not going to rely on any other resource. Lord, I don't know what to do. I need to hear from you. The psalmist David expressed that many times. In Psalm 145, we have a place where he says, Lord, I cry out to you. The people cast their care, even though they didn't have that scripture then, they cast their care upon God. Experience had taught them to go to God. Experience teaches us that God can be trusted, that when we don't know what to do, at least we know where to go. We know someone that we can trust. David in that same psalm said, Lord, it's you who knows my way. And so if God is the one that knows, then he's the best one to talk to. He's the first point of contact. And then he called on others. Verse number 4, it says, the people of Judah came together. And I know many of you have done that. Many of you have reached out where you find a trusted friend. And you've called out to them and said, can you pray with me about this? And so when wrong things happen, the right thing to do first is call out for help. Call out to God, first of all, and then call on trusted friends to join you. The second right thing to do is remember who God is and remember what He has done. When things go wrong, we need these reminders. When things go wrong, we need to be reminded of who's really in control here. And Jehoshaphat in verse number 6, when he stood before the people, he said, we have to talk to God. We need God's help in this situation. And when he cried out to God in front of the people, he said, Lord, you're the God of our ancestors. Aren't you the God who's in heaven? Aren't you the one who rules over every kingdom and every nation? Power and might are in your hands, and no one can stand against you. He reminded himself of who God was. Isaiah did that. In the year that King Uzziah died, he reminded himself that Uzziah, the king of his country, had died, but the King of Kings, the God of the universe, was still alive. And when you face wrong things, take a moment to recognize who God is here. He's in charge. He's in control. He's all powerful. And then it's not only a reminder of who God is. Lord, you're the one that's ultimately powerful. A nation is coming against us, but you rule over every nation. But then he went on in verse number 7, and he started to recall what God had done for him, what he had done for them. Did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land already? Lord, haven't you given us this land? And to this day, people are standing on that assurance from God. Jehoshaphat reminded himself in the midst of, the Apostle Paul calls it girding up the loins with truth. It sounds like a little bit of a phrase we wouldn't use in our day, but basically in Ephesians, Paul is telling them to gird up your, make yourself stronger with truth. So start recalling on the truth of who God is. Start recalling what God has done. Start recalling who you are in Christ Jesus, Paul was telling the Ephesians. Start recalling all these wonderful truths about Jesus and his power. Strengthen yourselves with truth. You see, in the midst of what's wrong, the best thing is to determine what's right and what's true. And in the midst of the wrong that's happening to you today, maybe you've done something you feel, yeah, maybe I deserve it. Or maybe you feel, I don't deserve this one bit, Pastor. This is totally unfair. In the midst of what's wrong, remember what's right. Remember what's true. You're a child of God. God gave his son for you. Jesus Christ gave his life for you. You're his child, and no weapon formed against you can prosper. Remind yourself of what's right when everything seems wrong. He is the God of heaven. He's not anxious. He's not out of control. Nextly, reaffirm your commitment to him. Not only for his benefit, he doesn't need to hear you say, well, okay, God, I'm going to stick with you. But by reaffirming your commitment to God, you're telling yourself something. You're saying something to yourself. In verse number 9, when Jehoshaphat stood and prayed, he recalled what God had done for Israel. He recalled that God had given them the land. He recalled that he had driven people out before it. He recalled that the people had lived in that land and they had now built a temple for him. And he said, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or a plague or a famine, we will stand in your presence. Reminds me of the Hebrew children. God, we know that you're able to deliver us, but even if you don't, we're still going to praise you. You see, when you give that kind of reaffirming of your commitment to God, it doesn't do anything for God, but it does something for you because you are reaffirming with yourself that I am trusting God in this situation and that come hell or high water, I'm still going to serve him. And that's an important thing to do when bad things are happening. And then one we've talked about, refocus. Refocus on God. He said, Lord, we don't know what to do here. We have no clue. But our eyes are on you. We're focusing on you. I remember way back when I was a Bible college student in Peterborough, Ontario. And we were home to Newfoundland and we're driving back and I wasn't overly familiar with driving through Montreal, and it kind of was a bit daunting. Still is driving through Montreal. But a friend of mine who was traveling with us, he was much more used to it than I was, and he just gave me two words. Follow me. Follow me. And so going through Montreal that day, I couldn't tell you if there was a building in that city. All I can tell you was there was a late or early 1980s Ford Ranger, and I was focused on that bumper, and nothing was going to distract me from it. And we got through the city, and I'm still here to tell the tale 30 years later in a sermon on a Sunday morning in Pembroke. Jehoshaphat says, Lord, we don't know what to do, but we're going to follow you. Our eyes are going to be glued. We're going to keep our gaze on you. Fix your eyes. The writer of the Hebrews said, on Jesus. You're going to lead us through this mess. You're going to lead us through this confusion. You're going to take me through. I'm not sure how that's going to happen, but I'm just going to hold on to you. And then here's the one that's sometimes toughest. Receive what God says. Verse number 15, or 14, let me back up to 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he spoke to the people. In the authority of the Spirit of God, he spoke to the people and he said, King Jehoshaphat, listen. Don't be afraid. This is not your fight. This battle is not yours. This battle is the Lord's. Just go out and do what I tell you. You see, folks, the toughest part sometimes is listening. Sometimes we do call out to God immediately. Lord, I need your help. I don't know what to do here. Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm looking to you. But then the tough part sometimes is waiting to hear what God says. But if we call out to God, the Holy Spirit will speak to us. He will speak to us. He will give us direction. Not always what we want to hear. In their case, the answer was just stand down. Stand down. Keep calm. This is not your fight. This is not your fight. I've recognized one mistake I've made over many years of ministry. I fought too many fights that weren't mine. I wasted too much energy fighting fights that weren't mine to fight. My father had a phrase, and he was a district superintendent. Many pastors have reminded me of it. He would say, don't show up to every fight you're invited to. Jehoshaphat, this is not your battle. What you have to do, stand back and sing. In the midst of this battle, in the midst of this attack, stand back and eventually sing. You know, sometimes the fight we're fighting is not ours. We're not fighting someone, even though we think we are. We're fighting against an enemy of our souls that will do anything in his power to destroy good people. God's word reminds us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We think it's that person that's the cause, or that group of people, or that organization, or whatever. God's word reminds us we're not fighting against that person. We're fighting against principalities and powers and wickedness and rulers of this age. And so many times we're tired because we're fighting a battle that doesn't even belong to us. So my question this morning to you is one I've asked myself, whose battle am I fighting? But God will remind, God will speak to you. Sometimes it's in that still small voice. In the midst of the battle and the raging, sometimes he speaks in the still small voice. And so it's hard sometimes to hear him. But if we hear him, if we listen, he will speak. And then he says this, because I was going with all ours, I decided to stick with the rejoice. Rejoice always. He said, here's the plan. Listen to me, Judah. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Sounds like a strange plan. It's like the battle, it's like the men of Gideon. When Gideon defeated the Midianites, he went out with in this battle that there was no way on earth that he could physically win it. And they went out with, the Bible tells us, with trumpets and jars, was lanterns in glass jars. And then at the right time, they said, you just simply blow the trumpet and smash your jar, your light. Seems like a weird thing to ask us to do when the enemy, and we're going to be slaughtered here. But they trusted. And the key was that normally in armies, there was only one trumpet for every legion of soldiers, or I don't know how many there were, but there was only, not everybody had a trumpet. It was only one per unit or one per legion. The same with the light. And so when the enemy heard the trumpets blow, they assumed there was multiplied more people. And when they saw the lights, they assumed there was a far bigger army. And so they got scared. And so God's plan reminds me of what happened here. Go out and sing. But Lord, they're attacking us. Go out and sing. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Stand down and sing. There's a lot of times that I wish I had done more of that. Instead of standing up and fighting, I wish I had stood down and sang and praised. And thankfully, God puts people in our lives to help us do that when we need it most. And then they did one other thing. They returned thanks. After God gave them the battle and gave them the victory, and what did they do? They entered Jerusalem and they went to the temple. They returned thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. I know there's people here this morning, because there always would be in a group this size, that you're dealing with some bad things, some unfair things, some wrong things. And I don't want to dismiss that this morning as light, because it's not. It's tough. And some of you are dealing with things you do not deserve. And some are fighting battles, and you're tired fighting a battle that doesn't belong to you anyway. And so what's the right thing to do? Well, from this chapter, the right thing to do is call on God. Remember who God is. Remember what God has already done. Reaffirm your commitment to him, that you're sticking with him regardless. Focus on him. Keep your eyes on him. Receive what he says. And sing. Worship. Rejoice. Praise him. Thank him. And verse number 30 tells us, after all of that, God gave them rest. The kingdom was at peace. The kingdom was at peace, and God gave them rest. We all feel overwhelmed at times, but God can give rest. Notice the contrast here. Notice the beginning, verse number 3, when Jehoshaphat heard the news, what does the word say? Alarmed, panicked, alarmed, scared, don't know what to do here. And then verse number 30, and the kingdom was at peace. Don't you prefer that over alarm? But the key is focusing on God. I want to take some time this morning for us to pray together. And as I was preparing this message and kind of was pretty much finished with it, the Lord drew me back to verse number 13. In the midst of this challenge and alarming time, it says, all the men of Judah with their wives and their children and their little ones stood there before the Lord. This morning, we're here as a church family. If I were to take time to talk to you individually and say, where are things with you right now? Some of you say, hey, Pastor, things are good. Things are good. Others of you would say, you really don't want to know. But we're family. When the king recognized that there was trouble on the horizon, he stood before the people and he called out to God. And I want to remind you this morning, church, of who he is. He is the creator. He's the giver of life. He's the sustainer of life. He's the God of every blessing. He's the God who provides. He's the God who walks with you in the fire. And I can look back over seasons in my life and I can recall, Lord, yes, you did that. You did that. And Jehoshaphat called the people together. The men, the women, the children, and the little ones. And so they're distinguishing between the children and the little ones. The children must have been older, teenagers or whatever, I don't know. And then the little ones. And they stood together. And with one voice, they called out to God. And faithful to his people, God spoke to them through his servant and said, hey, chill out. This is not your battle. This battle is God's. We're going to sing that song, and I'm going to ask you to come. I'm going to ask you all to come. The men, the women, the children, the little ones. Let's come and stand together. And let's call out to God. Keep our eyes on him. Let's worship him. And then I'm going to share with you some prayer needs, and we're going to pray for each other. Let's stand. Coming around this time is a 2-year anniversary of the Russian invasion in Ukraine. And I know that it goes on before that and so on. But what we've been dealing with in these past 2 years has been a little more in focus. Pastor Lorne shared with me this week a email or text he had from Pastor Sasha at, I think it's Almaz, I'm not sure the name of the church in Kyiv. And they are nervous right now, alarmed, sounds familiar, because they're expecting there could be a fresh offensive now to mark the 2-year invasion. People are alarmed. What are they doing? Calling on God. And then they're calling out to others, sharing it with connections they have. And so I assured Pastor Lorne, and he passed on back to the pastor of that church, that a church in Ontario, Canada, this Sunday will be praying for a church, a local church in Kyiv, Ukraine. And so we pray for them today. Let's pray. Father, we stand in your presence this morning. Lord, we stand as a church, as a community, as a group, as a family. And Lord, when one struggles, we all struggle because we're a family. Lord, we're not perfect. We're not a perfect family. And Lord, sometimes we just don't know what to do. Lord, when we hear these sicknesses that we have no control over, we just don't know what to do. Lord, when we hear of trouble, Lord, we just don't know what to do. But Lord, as King Jehoshaphat declared, and I declare on behalf of this church this morning, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Lord, our eyes are on you. We're fixed. We're glued. And Lord, we know that you will lead us. Lord, you go before us. Nothing can stand in the presence of God. And so, Lord, we bring all of these needs to you this morning. Pray for Al and Debbie. We pray for Michelle's brother. Lord, I pray for Miles. I pray for Kinsley. I pray for Jacob. Lord, I pray for others of our seniors that need your touch. And we pray for the church today, Pastor Sasha, and that church, that congregation in Ukraine. Lord, today, as they may feel alarmed, I just pray that as they gather on this weekend to worship, that there'd be an amazing sense of the Spirit of God that would just flood them with a sense of peace. And may they be reminded, Lord, that you are still ultimately in control. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would give them what they need to hear at this season. Lord, we pray for believers there. We pray for believers around this world, Lord. We think of your people. Lord, the nation of Israel, we're reminded this morning, even as we read this scripture, Lord, that you are the one who's gone You're the one who gave them this land. Lord, the enemy is still attacking even today. But yet, Lord, you are still God. And I just pray that you would speak to your people there today with a sense of comfort, of knowing that this battle is still the Lord's. Oh, God, we seek you. We cry out to you. Lord, lift that burden of battle off someone's shoulders this morning. Lord, as people stand here at this altar, tired from the fight, Lord, lift that burden off them today. Lord, we pray for some unspoken needs that we just can't or not don't have the freedom to share publicly today. But Lord, you know them. And so, Lord, we just bring them to you. Bring healing. Bring restoration. Bring deliverance, Lord, wherever it's needed, we pray. In Jesus' name. Lord, help us to keep worshiping. Keep our focus on you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Feel free to just pray with each other if you want. We're going to sing this song we sang earlier.